Thank you so much for that singing. The music this morning has certainly elevated my thinking, my thoughts, and my heart towards the Lord. And I trust that's done the same. I think I could tell it's done the same for you this morning. As you have your Bibles open to Psalm 29, the message this morning will be titled, The God of the Storm. Psalm 29 is quite an interesting psalm. I think when we get done, I pray that when we get done studying Psalm 29 this morning, that perhaps you'll come back to this chapter at a later time in your life with a greater appreciation for the message that God has to deliver to you about His majestic glory. This morning, would you please follow along as I read in Psalm 29. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord glory, do unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf. Lebanon and Syrian like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve and discovereth the forest. And in His temple doth everyone speak of His glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. In September 18, 2003, doesn't ring a bell. Maybe the name of a storm, Isabella, may ring a bell. It came up through the East Coast and just plowed its way through Virginia and the Washington, D.C. area and in eastern Pennsylvania and left devastating consequences. But on September 18th specifically, it was wielding its power over Washington, D.C. And it's been told that over the Tomb of the Unknown Soldiers at Arlington National Cemetery, that the soldiers there, as they would watch over the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, as they have for at about the time 73 years since 1930, that the soldiers, as they would pace back and forth and guard that tomb, were given relief for the first time in history to watch that tomb. That they were approached and were allowed to relinquish their responsibilities. The Sergeant Christopher Holmes said, they told us that, but that's not what's going to happen. That's not what's going to happen. It just considered to be the greatest honor to go out there and guard. It's not only the unknown, it's a symbol that represents everyone who's fought and died for our country. A soldier standing by said that was never an option for us. It went in one ear and went right out the other. And for 5.5 hours, Sergeant Alfred Lanier would walk back and forth guarding the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, withstanding gusts of wind up to 60 miles an hour that felled over 24 trees in Arlington Cemetery, crushing 3 tombstones with its power. This morning in Psalm 29, we find that the psalmist takes great delight in identifying God in a storm. As a matter of fact, it's believed that David could have even written this psalm as he sat on the steps just on the outside entrance of the temple as he was sitting through a thunderstorm. I'm not one of those preachers, but if I had Dan Brown here this morning, I would have been tempted to ask him to kind of hit the organ and just make a thunderous noise once in a while during my sermon to reinforce the power of what's going on in this passage. Because I really think if we could pull it off, it might just do well to emphasize the power and the noise that's going on in this passage. And so this morning, let's take a look at this storm where David identifies God. A little girl was in her bedroom. And her father had wondered what was going on. He had kind of heard some noises, so he went up the stairs. And as he went into her room, he found that she had climbed up on the windowsill in her bedroom. and that she was spread eagle on her window, up against the window. She said, "What are you doing?" She said, "I'm posing. God's taking my picture." You see, it was a thunderstorm, the flashes of lightning. And you know, here in this passage, we find that the psalmist writes to music a storm and identifies God. It isn't really the first time that we find God identified by someone in a storm. If you remember way back in Exodus chapter 9, verse 28, Moses has gone before Pharaoh. Some of the plagues have taken place. One of the most devastating plagues was the storm of hail and brimstone. It really just had great consequences in the land. And listen, as Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said unto them, "I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous, and I and my people are wicked. Entreat the Lord, for it is enough that there be no more mighty thunderings than hail, and I will let you go, and you shall stay no longer." Moses said unto him, "As soon as I am gone out of the city, I will spread abroad my hands unto the Lord, and the thunder shall cease, neither shall there be any more hail, that thou mayest know how the earth is the Lord's." But when the Pharaoh says, "Entreat the Lord that he would stop the thunderings," really, the direct translation would be, "The voice of the Lord needs to stop." He's identifying the thunder as the voice of the Lord. In Job 37, 3 and 4, speaks how God lets loose lightning on the earth. "He directeth it," Job said, "he directeth it unto the whole heaven, and his lightning unto the ends of the earth. After it, a voice roareth. He thundereth with the voice of his excellency, and he will not stay them when his voice is heard." He goes on to say, a couple chapters later, 40 verse 9, "Hast thou an arm like God, or canst thou thunder with a voice like him?" In John chapter 12, we find that people identify God's voice like a thunder. Jesus has marched into Jerusalem in the triumphal entry, and God, in one of the three times identifies, speaks from heaven in front of a crowd and identifies his Son. One at the Transfiguration and one at his baptism, but this one directly following the triumphal entry. And here's what John records people say in John 12:29. "And therefore, the people that stood by heard it, and that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him." So you see, the voice of the Lord being like thunder really isn't a unique reference here in Psalm 29, although I believe David points out some unique things, some unique principles about the voice of the Lord that we're going to learn about this morning. Number one, I want us to understand that there is a worship going on in heaven during when he's writing this. Notice he says, "Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord glory, do unto his name, worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness." He's speaking and describing words of giving glory and giving praise and adoration to God, certainly mighty people here on earth, but he's also calling out to the angels of heaven to surround the Lord with their praise. Listen to what Charles Spurgeon says about that heavenly praise that's going on. "If he, the Lord, should speak in heaven, the angels would hush their hallelujahs and suspend the notes of their golden harps to hear him. And when he speaks on earth, it is at all times becoming in all his creatures to hush their rebellious passions and make the voice of their reason to be silent." When God speaks, either from the pulpit or from his word, "I hold it to be my duty to keep silence," Charles Spurgeon said. And so his speaking and the picture of what the sound of his voice is like, there is a word that I believe best describes what's taking place in verses 1 and 2 here, and that is the word majesty. There is a majesty about God's word. There is a majesty about God's presence. There is a majesty about the voice of the Lord. And this is a majesty that I think sometimes we underemphasize. While we can sing songs, and while we can pray, and while we can enjoy the blessings of knowing that God is our Father and that He is our friend, He sticks closer than a brother, sometimes we can get a little bit imbalanced in our perspective of God and bring Him down on our level and not keep the majesty of His holiness. Sometimes we bring Him down too much onto our own level that He becomes more like us than more like the God He is. And I believe that it is a lifetime It's a lifetime balancing act as a believer to worship God as his friend and to draw upon him for strength as his friend, but to also realize and acknowledge and worship his majesty. We've got to be careful that we don't bring God down onto our own level. God does that himself for us, but we ought to be careful not to do that ourselves. Here's why. Because when we bring God down to our level and make him like us, then our problems are too big now for him because he's like us. We've got to keep him on the throne because it's only there that he can solve the problems. It's only there that we can have the right perspective that our problems are not too big for him. So just a word of caution there about his majesty, but when God speaks, it is majestic. And the Bible is majestic. God in his beauty and his holiness is majestic. O ye mighty ones, lift your voice and praise his holy name. What majesty. Let's keep that majesty in our worship. Let's keep that majesty in our prayers. Let's keep that majesty as we acknowledge his word. You know, sometimes a preacher will have you stand when he has the reading of the scripture, and that's because he wants you to change position to acknowledge the majesty, the supremacy, the authority of the word of God. And I don't think that's a bad thing. That wouldn't be a bad thing to do. But there's a majesty about God, but there's also, I want you to see, secondly, there is a power. There's a power about his voice. And like man's voice, God's voice has different tones. For example, God has a harsh tone, I believe, when he calls out a sinner to repentance, when he calls back a wayward one to return back to him. There is a harshness there. God is a jealous God, and he will be harsh with people when he wants to bring them back. But secondly, I think also God has another tone of voice, and that is a teacher's voice. That is, they come alongside of "let me show you" type voice. These are just a couple examples of perhaps other tones, and I would just encourage you to study some of the other tones of voice that you could identify perhaps a role that God is playing with his voice. But thirdly, there is a comforting voice. There is a comforting voice that God shares with us at times. There is a sweet consolation in God's voice. You know, June and July here in the Midwest are typically known as tornado time. And as I understand it, over there in the Middle East, where Palestine, Israel was, there would be these great storms that would come from off the Mediterranean or sometimes from the east and sweep through Palestine. And directly during this time of year, the month of July was known really as the month that carried some of the most severe thunderstorms, where dry creeks would all of a sudden be flooding villages. It's interesting that in the 17th century Psalter, a Jewish hymnal, they would organize the Psalms into sections of music and put music to them and worship the Lord with them. And in the 17th century Psalter, Psalm 29 is the hymn that they would sing for the month of July. Because they were acknowledging that God was in the storm. That this was the month of storms and that they needed to recognize God's voice. But also, not only do we see worship in heaven, but we also see the Word of God on earth. So let's look at some of the actions, some of the descriptions of the actions that the Word of God takes. So look in your scripture there in verse number 3. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. I'm sorry, the voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them to skip like a calf, Lebanon and Syrian like a young unicorn. The picture here is that God's thunderous, God's power, that his voice is so powerful that as it would come down from heaven, it would just toss these cedars from Lebanon like toothpicks. It would split them up to pieces. It would shatter them, much like lightning would shatter a tree. It would bring down, and the picture here is, I believe, that as these these great cedars from Lebanon, known for their strength, power, might, and their ability to create an upward focus. That as God would come down from heaven with His voice, that He would bring low the lofty, that He would decimate the proud things of the world, that He would take these trees that were so upright that could withstand great winds, that could withstand the snowfall, that could withstand time. But there's one thing they couldn't withstand, and that is when the voice of the Lord would crack through heaven and come down to earth, it would split those trees and bring the arrogant down to the ground. And you know, as I was thinking this week about how our world has just such a haughty attitude, such a self-promoting, arrogant spirit in its worship of entertainment figures. And I was reminded this week that God will bring down the haughty. How many entertainers and Hollywood stars and people who the world has set up as icons, and God has just brought them to a shameful death. It's just embarrassed them in front of a world where confusion surrounds their death, disgrace. The voice of the Lord, when it cracks through heaven to the heart of man, cannot be withstood. God will do as He wills, and He will break to pieces the heart of stone. And here we see in verse number 6 that He maketh them also to skip like a calf. And I can picture as a tornado and as the gales and gusts of wind would sweep across those rolling mountains up there in the northern part of Palestine, Lebanon, just tossing the trees here and there, making them to skip like a calf. That means as a calf would be excited. You ever look out into a farm pasture, and you just see a cow, maybe a young cow, just kind of skipping around, just kind of not even touching the ground. But also he breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf, and Lebanon and Syrian like a young unicorn. And perhaps this would be identifying maybe a calf again with some horns just coming out, or maybe a young buffalo. But the picture is this, that when God's word speaks, nothing stands in the way. Genesis chapter 1, we find that God just speaks, and out of nothing comes life. Listen to the key word said, the Lord said, as I read just very quickly, Genesis 1, several verses, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. God said that there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. God said that the waters under heaven be gathered together unto one place. God said that the earth bring forth grass. God said that there be lights in the firmament. And God said that the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creatures that hath life. And God said that the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind. And God's words, God's voice has the power to make and to break. And at this time, in these verses here in Psalm 29, God's word has the power to break. Woe is the man who stands in the way of the force, the power of this breaking that God can do. There's a moving upon the waters. There's a dividing in verse number 7. And the voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. And as I see this, I see that God's word has the ability to separate the sin from the sinner. As I see this, I see that God's word has the ability to separate darkness from light, men from troubles. That there is nothing that God cannot divide with His word. In fact, Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, is a discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. There is nothing that can stand in the way of the voice of the Lord that can make or break. And I can picture here as the psalmist stands on the outside of the temple and looking at the storm. Probably all of us have sat and just watched a storm. And there across the dismal sky, without any type of form or organization in it, just billows of black, luminous clouds. All of a sudden, a lightning, strike of lightning pierces through the sky. Something so defining against such a backdrop of doom. Cuts through the clouds in a definitive way. Straight lines, crooked lines, but with form for sure. So God will come into the heart of a man and He will give him form where there was no form. He'll bring light where there was no dark, where there was darkness. He will separate troubles from peace. He'll bring His presence in a defining way. But also I find that in verse number 8, the voice of the Lord awakens. Look at verse 8, the voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness, and the Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve and discovereth the forest, and in His temple doth everyone speak of His glory. I remember last year, just about this time, I took the teenagers down to Mechanics Creek State Park, and you might have heard the story before, but we like to go into some caves with our teenagers sometimes to explore, and there's a cave down there. It's called Wolf Cave. It's really a spectacular cave. If you weigh less than 100 pounds, you could go through it. And we went through the cave, and you know, as summertime goes, a thunderstorm can just pop up and kind of disappear within just a moment's notice. So this one popped up on us while we were in the cave. And as we came out, we realized that there was a torrential downpour going on, cats and dogs everywhere. It was amazingly powerful. And as we came around, we decided that, number one, a tin bus wouldn't be a good place to hang out at. And number two, our tents weren't very secure. So we thought we would just go around to the front part of the cave, and probably about as wide, just about half as wide as the stage, about 20 feet wide was the mouth of a cave, just shorter than what you could stand, and about 20 feet deep. And there in the mouth of the cave we sat, and we sang to the Lord while thunder and lightning cracked through the clouds. For about 90 minutes. We didn't really keep track of time, but we sung every song in the hymnal twice. And the teenagers were learning a lesson, and they will never forget that moment, because they understood that we were in the presence of God. And while we were out in the nature setting like that, we were safe in the middle of the thunderstorm. But have you ever gone out on a hike somewhere? Maybe you've gone to the top of a mountain or something, or you've been to a place where you could pull off on the side of the road and just looked out upon a valley. And perhaps even tried to hear your own echo, and you spoke out, and have you heard an echo? But have you ever tried to speak to the wilderness and ask it to answer you? No. You don't have that ability. You don't have the ability to go out into no man's land, speak, and something obeys you. Yesterday, the day before, we were hiking with the teenagers on our camping trip. Again, my son Kyle was hiking with me, and he was speaking, and everything was running from us. I was hoping to catch wildlife, but he was speaking so much that I think we were scaring it all away before we could investigate it. And that's exactly what happens, because that's the natural course of man, is when we speak to wilderness, we do not have creative power with our voice, but God does. And here in this passage here, we find that God speaks and the wilderness shakes. And it shakes so much so that it causes these hinds to calve. And you could translate hind into a cow or some type of wild beast like that, or you could translate into a deer. But here's where I'd like to take it is a deer, and in some translations it's translated deer. A deer has a hard time, as I understand it, carrying their child in the womb. There is great pain and discomfort beyond what other animals experience. just because of the nature of the framework of a deer. And there is great labor and toil and great pain in the midst of that, of the delivery of a fawn. And here in the thunderstorm, God cracks open the lightning and there's thunder booming and the wilderness is shaking. And this deer is so fearful that she gives birth. And you may say, that's tough. That is, you know, to take a young fearful animal. Here it is. God was relieving the deer from the burden it was carrying. God was having mercy on the deer so it wouldn't endure any pain. Its time had come. And now it could be at rest. Something beautiful, something wonderful now could be taken from that deer. In the midst of the storm, dark clouds looming everywhere, and the crack of lightning, deer and wild beasts running everywhere. But here's this deer, and God takes careful attention to exercise its delivery. And so here we find the hinds, the calf, and discovereth the forest. In the middle of a lightning storm, have you ever noticed that you can just, when it's pitch black, when lightning cracks through the sky, everything's bright. See things that you hadn't seen before. Just lights up all the way from the top of the forest to the forest floor. It discovers it. You know, in our world, we have a world full of wickedness. It's overgrown with self-centeredness, with hypocrisy, with sensuality, with arrogance, with untamed desires. But God's voice, the Word of God, when it is preached, when it is proclaimed, when it is spoken by the Lord into the heart of a believer, discovers that undergrowth as well as the trees. Those things that have gone untamed, those things that have spread just kind of quietly, those things that are just kind of overgrown, that have been looked over when the piercing Word of God speaks, it just divides into the heart, the discerner, the thoughts and intents. The voice of the Lord discovers for us. Here in Kadesh, it's talking about Kadesh. Verse number 9, it shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. And perhaps this could be the place in the southern Arabian desert, away from Egypt, on the way from Egypt to Canaan where the Israelites had camped. And it's eliciting a memory of God's saving power as it describes a potentially destructive power in the storm. That don't you remember that in the middle of the storm, when you're on your way to Israel, I kept you safe in the wilderness. I delivered you out of your troubles. I knew right where you were the whole time. Well, David loved to sing of that trip. He loved to sing of that journey that the Israelites had taken. So it's no surprise that he would refer to this wonderful journey that God would take his children. So also then, we understand that there is worship in heaven, there is Word of God here on earth, but there is the will of God in our hearts. So look at me at the closing verses here in Psalm 29. And I want you to see this, that God will give strength to His people. The Lord sitteth upon the flood, yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. Let it not be mistaken that in the middle of this storm, I'm over it. I'm on top of it. I know where it's at. I'm king forever. And the Lord will give strength. Because I'm king, I will give strength unto my people. And I will bless the people with peace. Would you turn in your Bibles with me, please, to Mark chapter 4. and scan your eyes down to verse number 35. And the same day when the even was come, Jesus said unto them, "Let us pass over unto the other side." When they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. There arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Full of what? Full of water. He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. And he said unto them, "Why are you so fearful?" Can I interject? Seeing as I sit on the throne, how is it that ye have no faith? Seeing that I'm a God who will give you strength. And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, "What manner of man is this that even the wind and sea obey him?" What manner of man is this, that even the wind and sea obey him? You see the problem there with the disciples? It's what I had said to you earlier. They lost the focus on the majesty of Jesus. Jesus became a man to them. He was on their level. What manner of man is this? How can this guy do it? Jesus rose up, stood on the deck of the ship and said, "Peace, be still." The same power that God created the storm, God ceased the storm. He calmed the storm. The same power. We need to understand this morning that God has power and peace. Sometimes we get so focused on the power that God has to break, to judge. Sometimes we get so focused on all the power of God in such a way that we just see Him as this, as very strong, able to create great storms, able to speak loudly with a booming voice. But the same God who created the storm, the same God is able to calm the storm. Same God who is the power of the storm is the same God who is power of peace. The power of peace. Our world doesn't understand those two words going together. They don't understand that. The disciples were learning what that was. He has the ability to comfort His people. This idea here in verse number 10 and 11 of, as you look at the word, "The Lord sitteth upon the flood." And verse number 11, "The Lord will give strength." This hymn, this song, is using repetition, like a drumbeat fashion. "The Lord sitteth upon the throne. The Lord will give blessing. The Lord will give strength." Like a chorus following a stanza that you would repeat over and over. Perhaps we could read one verse in the middle of the passage and then go down to the bottom and read it. So for example, in verse number 4, "The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty." And verse number 10, "The Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever." Verse number 5, "The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon." Verse number 11, "The Lord will give strength unto His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace." There is a reinforcement here of repetition. And it avoids monotony. The entire passage flows like this. At the beginning, we find the worship in heaven. Then we kind of find it sweeping down to earth, breaking the cedars of Lebanon and shaking the wilderness. Then back up to heaven on the throne. What a beautiful picture of a storm. Like the rainbow came out at the end. God's promise of presence. What a beautiful picture here of God's power and His voice. Do you hear God's voice? Do you hear God's voice? Romans 10:17 says, "So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." And so as I understand it, what I'm supposed to listen to so that my faith grows is the Word of God. In 1 Corinthians 1:18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God." 1 Corinthians 1:21, "For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." Do you listen to the Word of God? I believe one of God's primary ways of communicating the Word of God is through preaching. Do you listen to preaching? Do you hear preaching? Do you allow it to penetrate into your hearts? Do you allow the Word of God to divide into your hearts, to have free reign, to toss aside what needs to be tossed aside, and to make a path for God into your heart like a wilderness that shakes from the thunder and lightning? Do you recognize God's incomparable power to create, judge, destroy, and bless with His Word? Do you have an esteem for God's Word? Do you lift it up? Do you elevate God's Word in your life? Is it majestic? Do you hang on it? Is it precious? Is the Word of God something that you can't live without? It's part of you. It encourages you. It rebukes you. It exhorts you. It admonishes you. It challenges you. It convicts you. Do you have an esteem for God's Word? You know, there are ways to communicate God's Word. Certainly, as I mentioned, there is the preaching of God's Word, but there's also godly music, for which is some that we read this morning. Godly music has a way of taking us from heaven down to earth and back to heaven again. Do you meditate on the Word of God? Does the Holy Spirit prick your heart, and do you listen to Him when He convicts you? Do you have an esteem for the Word of God? Is it majestic? Is it powerful in its majesty? Is it powerful in its peace? Do you allow God's Word to destroy you? To go into the very dark places of your life and expose them like a lightning flash does a forest, discovers them. Do you allow God in there? To do as He would see fit, to break it apart, to make something new right there, where something old and grotesque was growing in your life. The Word of God has the power to break. But after God breaks, He always makes. And if you allow God to break into your life, to break into your heart, He will make you into something new and alive. He will deliver you like that beautiful picture of the deer. Where God breaks, He makes. But also where He makes, He breaks. There are things in your life that you're holding together. Oh, with the very duct tape of the fabric of your emotions. You're holding it together by all your strength because you don't want God to break it. But it's so important to you that it's taken the place of God. It has a lot more importance to you than the voice of the Lord, because you allow its passions, its desires, its goals to dictate your decisions. Recognizing that God is full of majesty and power is the first step of worship in heaven. And the second step here is the Word of God here on earth. But the third step of acknowledging the voice of the Lord is allowing His will to work in your heart by bringing about a spirit of peace and bringing about a spirit of strength. How are you this morning? Let's pray. Lord, I wish I had a more booming voice to have communicated this message, but I thank You that the Holy Spirit has a voice, that which I cannot match. And I trust that as Your Word has been preached from the Word of God, that You will do as Your Word is faithful to do, that You will break the heart of stone into pieces, that You allow convicted believers to hand over to You that which was broken so that You can make it new. That You would give them the courage to give to You something that they have made so You can break it and make Your thing there. Give us all an esteem for the Word of God. Give us a higher appreciation, a higher adoration, the majesty of the Word of God. Let us not trifle, let us not diminish in any way the power of the Word of God. Let this image forever rest on our hearts and minds, that Your Word is full of power and majesty like that of a thunderstorm. As one watches in awe and in fear, so let us view the Word of God in that way. And may every believer be faithful to obey the Holy Spirit's leading in their life now in the next couple moments. And may You break and penetrate into the heart that's been hardened by sin and has never seen light this morning. May You penetrate into their lives and show them what You can make, a new life. In Jesus' name we pray.